destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Camp coming to you live. This is a live show. I am back from vacation. It is dark here in California. I'm sure it's dark wherever you are, too, because now we're in the winter months, being December 10th and all of 2007. I hope you guys have had a great pre-holiday season so far. The merchants of our country are depending on us to get out there and buy some stuff for others and ourselves. I don't know if you're like me or not, but when I go out for Christmas shopping, and once I get into that mood of buying presents, I start buying myself some stuff too. Does that happen to you? I can't help it. I go, wow, well, why not give myself something too? It's just kind of it opens up the mood. We're going to have a fun show tonight. I hope you guys are going to stick around. Hope you're used to this new time schedule. I just realized I still need to change that on my website. We're going to have a little talk here for a while. I'm going to talk about a few things, and then right around 7:30, we're going to open up the lines for questions and answers. So if you have questions tonight that you want to ask me or comments to make, feel free to call in tonight around 7:30 Pacific, or actually it might even be sooner. We'll see how long the talk goes. I never know how long they're going to go. It just goes as long as it goes. Okay, so we'll start out by talking about today. Today is December 10th, 2007. We're in the Sagittarian time of the year, and today was an interesting day. We have Jupiter and Pluto is conjunct right now, and I've talked about this before. This is something that only happens to us. You know, I'm just guessing. I could be wrong about this, but at least every 14 years. It could be even longer. But maybe it's 13. I don't know. But somewhere like that. So it's pretty rare. It doesn't happen every year. And it's a super powerful aspect that is found frequently in the charts of very rich people. Bill Gates has it, for example. And I was looking through the charts of a lot of billionaires for a client of mine recently, and I found the Jupiter-Pluto aspects conjunction being the most potent of them, occurring frequently. And we still have that. It's in effect now. It's strongest. It started on November the 25th, by the way, of this year, and it's strongest. It reaches its pinnacle on the 13th. Of December, and then it begins to fade out. So the significance of this is that businesses started under this aspect, or relationships began also, or the birth of something new will have the good fortune of this Jupiter-Pluto conjunction. You know, it's very interesting. There's a lot of astrologers in the world. And, you know, I hate to say it, I don't want to put anyone down, or, you know, because I think everybody's doing good work with the astrology knowledge they have. But there's a lot of misconceptions about astrology that become very popular because somebody achieves a level of notoriety and they don't really know what they're talking about, but they've become famous and they say something about planets or astrology or something, and they mislead a lot of people. And, you know, I can't do anything about it, but it's unfortunate in a certain sense. And people really give Pluto a really bad, they have a lot of misconceptions about Pluto. You know, I mean, it is the planet that rules death. It is the planet that rules transformation. But the mythical figure, and this is a really common misconception that astrologers make, a lot of astrologers make this, is they take the planet's name, and they trace it back to which mythological figure it was connected to, in this case Pluto, and they try to infer that the qualities of that mythological figure apply to the planet itself. So Pluto was somehow the king of the underworld, or had something to do with the underworld. So everybody associates Pluto with the underworld, and because of that, they make a lot of incorrect inferences about Pluto that just don't really apply. Pluto is the most powerful of all the planets. It's the farthest away. It's one of the smallest, if not the smallest, yet it's the most powerful. When it exerts influence in your life or on your chart, it will exert the longest influence, and the events that are associated with its movement in your chart will be life-changing. They'll be life-changing. And you won't have many Pluto events in your life because Pluto moves so slowly that it will only hit, you know, a certain number of your planets over the course of your entire life. So when it does make an aspect to something in your natal chart, for example, this is a once-in-a-lifetime aspect, and it will change your life forever. It is the planet that will be the end of an issue. It will bring an end to an issue. If you had, let's say, a square in your chart that represented a certain personal issue that you experienced off and on throughout your life, Pluto hitting those planets and aspecting them will create events that will cause that issue to be finalized. It will be no more. And Pluto has been known to represent the death of people. Our own death may follow with a Pluto transit, though it doesn't always. But the other part of Pluto that people really miss, a lot of astrologers miss, is that it's so powerful that it brings super success. It's the planet that can bring super, super success and super duper experiences in life in all different forms. For example, transiting Pluto conjunct Venus can bring a super sexual, super passionate relationship, a love of a lifetime, for example. And transiting Pluto hitting your Jupiter could bring you super money. Actually, Pluto and Venus can bring super money. I mean, like more money than you ever saw before. So this is the part that a lot of astrologers miss, and they just keep thinking it's bad no matter what it does. Pluto conjunctions are not bad. And Pluto conjunction with Jupiter right now is the number one best money aspect there is that you can possibly have. Okay, so if you've been thinking of starting a business, if you've been thinking of getting married even, if you could pull that off soon during this time period while Jupiter and Pluto are conjunct, this new beginning, this new relationship, this new business, this new enterprise will have that super successful aspect. Now, you must also, to be honest, to be complete about this, you must also consider the other planets that are involved at that same time. And like, for example, if the Sun were being squared by some planet during the same time that Pluto was making the conjunction, like Sun square Saturn, for example, that wouldn't be too good. For example, Sun did square Saturn around the 30th of November of this year while Jupiter was conjuncting Pluto. And even though you do have that good money, the Saturn square Sun is a very, very bad planet aspect to have in any chart of a new enterprise or a new relationship, because it's going to mean misfortune. There could be lots of money, but misfortune in a lot of other ways. So you have to look at the whole picture. But in general, this is a great time to start a business. Now, I had a question from one of my readers today. I'll just read it basically, because I had mentioned December 17th and 18th being good days to start business because these are days when Jupiter and Pluto are still conjunct. And she said, well, does the day count when I go to the city and apply for a license, or the day printed on the business license? Well, basically, you can kind of decide. The answer to this is like, well, when does the business actually begin? Well, the business can begin when you want it to. It doesn't have to be when the license is printed. It can be when you set that action into motion. It can also be the day that you open your doors. You know, you kind of have to decide, when is this thing? Because you could actually go get a business license, and your business wouldn't actually begin then. And you could also have a business begin before you get a license, right? So the license, it doesn't have to be the birthday of the company. It really is the day that you start doing business. And you should pick that day, and you should pick some kind of event that would represent you starting business. I hope that answers that question. Now, in terms of a relationship, the first time we meet somebody face-to-face or on the phone, that is the birthday of our relationship. But then if that relationship progresses to an intimate relationship, and this, of course, will only occur with somebody that you're sexually having a sexual possibility with, then the first time you have sex becomes the new birthday of that relationship. And finally, if you decide to get married, that marriage becomes the final date of that relationship, and it supersedes all the other dates. So if you were going to get married and you wanted to ensure that your marriage would be very prosperous, you would want to look at having Jupiter and Pluto conjunct in the marriage chart, if possible, and as many other good aspects as possible there, too. For those of you who are listening who are not aware, I was married on November 25th of this year, and just returned from my honeymoon. It was a blast. And we went on a cruise. We went on a cruise to Mexico. And I want to talk a little bit about that because I think it's very interesting how the dynamics of what happens on a cruise ship. Very interesting. But first, let's talk a little bit about today. Today's December 10th, and this is an 8 of clubs day with a 10 of diamonds planetary ruling card. Extremely fortunate day in many, many ways. Number one, it's Sagittarian. And Sagittarian, just being a Sagittarian, you are already born fortunate. Sagittarians use the word lucky a lot. You know, that was lucky, that was unlucky. I feel lucky, I'm lucky. They really all think they are lucky. They just do from birth. They just think they are lucky. Because they're ruled by Jupiter. And Jupiter is a planet of expansion and of abundance, okay? But this birthday today is even more so because Eight of Clubs has a very fortunate life path. Every planet in the life spread of all seven of the planetary planets in the life spread of the Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune of Eight of Clubs, every single one of those cards falls in the Jupiter line. So not only is it a Jupiter day, but the card being in Sagittarius, which is ruled by Jupiter, but every card in their life spread is in Jupiter. So it's an extremely fortunate day. Then the fact that it's an Eight of Diamonds, a Ten of Diamonds ruling card, and Ten of Diamonds is the double Jupiter card. It's the most Jupiterian card of the entire deck. It's called the Jupiter/Jupiter card. It's called the most blessed card, the most protected card. So that becomes their ruling card of this birthday today. And you can see how they're just basically super protected from all directions and have as much Jupiter as you could possibly have. Now, that might be too much, you know, because in astrology, nothing is really good or bad. Too much of something may not be all that good, you know. Having too much of any one planet can be out of balance, okay? So, but I would say that people born today are very fortunate. The only person I recognize really, well, I've recognized a few people from this, but Kenneth Branagh, the actor, Kenneth Branagh, he's born today in 1960. Dorothy L'Amour was born today. Chet Huntley was born today. Nia Peoples, I do not know who that is. I do not know who Sarah Chang is. She's in music, but I don't know who she is. These people are all born today. Happy birthday, you guys. I hope this is going to be a great year for you. And what's really cool about these people is they all have Jupiter and Pluto conjunct in their birthday chart for the coming year. Now, this is going to be extremely fortunate, even more, though, for people born about 10 days from now. Right around the 20th, the 19th and 20th of December, those Sagittarians will have that Jupiter-Pluto conjunction also conjuncting their sun on their birthday. That is pretty powerful. That would really symbolize some huge things happening in their life, more than even to people born today. Okay, so that's today. The Eight of Clubs, Ten of Diamonds, very fixed minds, these people, very principled. I've known a lot of them. I seem to attract that particular birthday for one reason or the other. So, 8-day cruise to Mexico. Wow, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I've been on one other cruise before. I'm sure a lot of you have been on cruises before. The service is impeccable. I don't know. The people that work on this, I don't know. I'm not sure if it was this way on the first cruise as much, because it's been a long time that I went on. But on this one, everybody who waited on us, who cleaned the rooms, who served us in the restaurants, everybody was just so happy and up. I just was amazed. And I could see how it had an effect on people that were on the cruise. Like, we all kind of arrived there, you know, from our lives, and we had our things, and we got our stuff on the boat, and we got unpacked, and, you know, we didn't know what to expect. Within a few days, I noticed that everybody was smiling. There was just smiling. Everybody was smiling because the whole crew, and on this crew, there was almost half as many crew as there were people on the boat. There were 2,300 guests on the boat and over 1,000 crew members. A lot of service going on this boat. It was a Norwegian cruise line, for those of you who are interested. People were just really, really nice. Really happy, really friendly, and great service. Of course, the food was great, too. Not all the food was super-duper, but a lot of it was. A lot of it was just incredible. And that's the big thing. You know, people, when you talk about people who go on cruises, many times the thing they remember most about the cruise was the food. There was so much food, and it was so incredible. And they have food that, like, they'll have restaurants and they'll have food from every different culture. They'll have Chinese food, Italian food. They'll have just steakhouse kind of food. They'll have American, just hot dogs and hamburger food. But it's all made super good ingredients, super fresh, lots of fresh fruit, vegetables, everything cooked to perfection, and cooked and served with really a nice attitude. So, you know, this is having all this food available and having it available for the most part, 24 hours a day, is a huge temptation. And one of the biggest problems, I think, is that people eat too much on the cruise ships. It's almost like you can't help it. Now, people in our culture today, they tend to eat too much anyway. I mean, we are an overweight society, the Americans are, you know. So there were people on this cruise ship. I watched people, you know, and I saw just, I would say, you know, I don't know how many. I would say probably 60% of the people, all the guests on the ship were really overweight. None of the crew was, of course. None of the crew were. But the guests, people like us, most of them were really overweight. And I watched people, like, they wouldn't even go down one floor on the stairs. They took the elevator. They didn't even want to walk up and down one flight of stairs. There were about 14 levels on the ship. And, you know, people would, even if they were just going down one level, they would take the elevator, a lot of cases. So there's all this food, and it's a blessing, and it's a problem. And I thought about it, you know, like, it's kind of like this in life. I really think that we really do have everything that we really want in life. but we overindulge in things that are, and we take something that's good, like food, and it can become a bad thing. Because when we eat too much, it becomes unhealthy. The food then, instead of giving us health, it takes away our health. So, you know, if we are eating too much for whatever reason, if we're eating and it's unhealthy for us, it has to be coming, if we look at it carefully, that urge to eat when it's beyond healthy has to be coming from an unhealthy place in our minds, an unhealthy thought. It could be emotionally based. It could be, you know, like we're trying to release stress, we're trying to avoid something, we're trying to, whatever we're trying to do. It's coming from a place that's not healthy. It has to be. That motivated, because you look at animals, you know, most animals will not overeat. You know, just, you don't see a lot of really obese animals out in the world. Now, you do see people's pets become obese. And I think it's more out of loyalty to their owners that they become obese, because the owners want to feed them, because the owners, there's a thing, you know, when we're in a relationship like that, and people will become overweight with a partner out of loyalty to their partner. They'll become overweight because if one partner is really overweight and the other one's not, there could be a sense of guilt and a sense of stress and tension between the two people, you know, because I'm skinny and you're fat, or I'm fat and you're skinny. Well, we're not the same anymore. We can't really be together because we're different. So I'm going to either have to get skinny or you have to get fat, so that we're the same and we can feel okay together, you know. So I think a lot of that goes on. There's all kinds of reasons why people overeat. And there could be thousands of the reasons, but I think that all those reasons are centered in something that's unhealthy for us on some level. And then it results in an unhealthy life. And Ben Franklin said, many dishes, many diseases. But I watched that, and I thought about that, you know, because I was there, and I'm pretty healthy. And I would work out, and I'm aware, you know, if I eat a lot and don't exercise, I don't feel good, you know. So I love the food. We had some great meals there, just incredible. But I really like to be hungry when I go eat. I like to be hungry, but it's almost impossible to get to be hungry on a cruise ship because food is just coming at you. And the meals are being served at this certain times, and you don't want to miss out on something. You know, it's just like that. So life is like a cruise ship in a way. We have everything we want. We do. We really have everything we want. And are we indulging in things, you know, are we indulging in too much materialism? You know, I remember a point in my life where I had a lot of money, but I was really unhappy. And I remember, I don't know how long this period lasted, but it might have lasted at least 6 months. It could have been longer, maybe even a year. When really all I did, like a lot, all day long, was read through mail order catalogs about what I could buy. Now, this was a phase, this was actually a Pluto phase for me, when Pluto was making a significant aspect in my chart. And I came out of that period with a much more healthy relationship with money. I was really unhealthy relationship with money I was going through at that time. You know, just like I forgot the value of things. And my life had all become just about buying stuff. But I didn't know the worth of anything. I didn't appreciate things. So Pluto helped me out with that. But, you know, we're all like this. We're all in this boat, you know, with this, like, we have this abundance. We don't even realize our abundance. We are so abundant, especially in this culture. And what are we doing with that abundance? Are we appreciating what we have? There's really nothing wrong with having anything in life. And there's nothing wrong with having any amount of anything in our life. But are we aware of it? Are we being aware of it? And it kind of brings me back to one of the tenets, the basic tenets, the basic laws that govern prosperity. And that is that really our true measure of worth in our life, like how much money you can have or I can have in our life is always determined by our own capacity to have. So basically, if you would like to have more in your life of anything, whether it's love, money, health, freedom, okay, it's only going to happen when you or I, it could be me, when we can increase our capacity to have. It's really funny because people think, you know, wanting something, I mean, it's important too that we want something, that we have this desire for it. But too much wanting can create a too much want and not a sense of having. What really attracts everything to us is a sense of having. So the more that we can celebrate what we have, the more we will attract to us. Sagittarian people know this. They know it. They expect. The Sagittarians that I know, and I'm married to one, they expect good things to happen to them. You know, my wife, when she walks along the street, she expects to find money on the street. She expects it to be a parking place. Not in an unhealthy way, but in just sort of an optimistic, idealistic way, which is very, very good. It attracts good things, you know. So we have to increase our capacity to have. We have to be, and that really means increasing our capacity to appreciate. It's not just about having, it's about what we can appreciate. You know, when we overeat and when we overindulge in material things, it's because really we're not really appreciating. Because if you were to really, truly appreciate one mouthful of food to its fullest extent, you might be satisfied with just that one mouthful of food. You see? If we're eating unhealthily, in some, I'm not using eating as an analogy, but this applies to everything in our life. If I'm eating unhealthily, it means that there's something distracting me away from appreciating what I'm eating. That's what's really happening in that moment. I'm not being with the food that I'm taking in. If I can be with that experience of taking it in, appreciating it, feeling it fill me up, I would be happy with much, much less. I remember when I lived at the yoga ashram, they taught us conscious eating. Not, they weren't trying to do it to save money. They just wanted us to be more conscious about our eating habits. And a big part of that was chewing. You know, how many times do you chew your food before you swallow it? So they would teach us to slow things down by chewing our food more, and that would bring more awareness there. The whole point, though, is about awareness. You know, it's interesting. You know, money can't buy an appetite. It can't buy hunger. You know, it can buy great food, but it cannot buy your capacity to enjoy food. It's real interesting. So this is all about increasing our capacity. Our capacity to have, our capacity to appreciate. If you would like to have more in your life, you don't need to work on having more. You need to work on your capacity to have more. You have to work on how much can you really appreciate? How much can you really take in? How much can you really say, wow, that's wonderful. This is really great. My life is great. Things are good. I am so blessed. How much can you really say that and really mean it? That's the key. Okay, with that going on, everything else can open up. That's the key. So I was reminded of that a lot because I was on this cruise ship and just surrounded by food. I thought, you know, our life's like this. We always have everything around us. But are we really letting it all in? Are we really accepting it? Okay, so that ends my little discussion tonight. I hope it was helpful for you. We are going to open up the phone lines here right after our short break. So if you are planning to call in, now is the time to make your call. We're going to play a song from my CD-ROM, my CD called Bhakti Rock, which is a combination of Sanskrit chants and pop music. And I'd like to hear the song Shiva off the Bhakti Rock CD. And when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. So now is the time to call and get in line and bring your questions. If you have questions, I have the answers. This is Robert Camp. I'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're having a great night. For those of you who just joined us, My shows are now starting at 7 o'clock, in case you didn't know. And the lines are open for calls. We have one person on line 3, but if you want to get in line for be our next caller, please call in at your leisure. So we have somebody on the line on Dina from Canada. Can I talk to Dina?
Hello.
Hi, Dina.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
Good. I got your email today.
Wonderful. And that was great timing. I just called in and was the first caller through, so I'm very excited about that.
And who's Jeanette? Is that your mother?
It is, yes.
And so she asked a question today, too, on the email.
Yes, she did.
Okay,
yes, she did.
If she wants to talk to me, you can put her on after you're done.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, she would love that.
Okay, great. So you had asked about you and your husband. You're born December 9th, 1970, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And he is born July 2nd, 1969.
Right.
And have you looked up your cards at all? Do you know anything about the cards at all?
Yes, I do know some about the cards. My mom actually has your book, so we do look at that once in a while.
Okay, well, your mother probably knows a lot then because she's a very smart woman.
Yes. Yes, I have to agree with you. She is.
So, I mean, okay, good. So you know that you are Nine of Clubs and a King of Diamonds. Do you know you're a King of Diamonds too?
Okay.
Did you know that?
Yep.
And your husband is a King of Diamonds.
Okay.
And a King of Hearts. Did
right.
you know that? Did you know that?
Yes, I did. Yes,
okay,
I, yeah,
just checking in here. Okay, first of all, the most important thing is, you ready for this?
Yep.
You wear the pants.
Oh, perfect. Yes, I have to agree with you.
Yeah. And that's a good thing, and it's a bad thing. You know why it's bad sometimes?
Why?
Because if anything goes wrong, it's your fault.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. I do agree with you.
So wherever you two are going together, you know, whatever you're doing as a couple, the responsibility falls on your shoulders to set that direction.
Right.
You're both very strong and you're both very capable of leading a relationship or leading any kind of, you know, enterprise or undertaking.
Okay.
But in this relationship, because he's a Cancer and because he's moon to himself, he's also moon to you. And so he ends up playing more of the feminine role in the relationship.
Okay.
But you guys have a lot of connections, and you are well connected. I mean, you have the makings for a really great marriage.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So when I look in your cards for this year, I'm looking at your cards now, not his. And I might just look at yours and not his tonight. And maybe if he wants to call back another time, I'll talk to him.
Sure.
I see the potential to make a lot of money this year.
Oh, wonderful.
And you just had a birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
And you probably heard me talk earlier about the lucky Sagittarians.
Yes.
That would be you.
Yes. That's wonderful.
And, you know, there are opportunities here for some great financial gains this year for you.
Oh, wow. Great.
It's not the most important thing of the year.
Okay.
But it's good to know that it would be advisable for you to explore any opportunities to expand your financial capacity this year.
Okay.
So if there's a business you're thinking of starting or getting involved in or somehow expanding on what you're already doing, you should consider doing expansion this year.
Okay. I'm
now,
kind of just
also,
up in the air.
You have things in the air?
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I'm on a standstill about what I want to do, so this is interesting.
Well, you know, I think one thing you should keep in mind is that both you and your husband, both of you have really good business sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You were born with it.
Great.
So, you know, you two together could make a lot of money together having your own business.
Wonderful. We've talked about that, actually, so that's good to hear.
I mean, how could kings work for other people?
Yeah, exactly.
When they know they're
very
supposed
true.
To be the boss.
Yes, that's right.
You have a King of Diamonds ruling card, and so does Bill Gates.
Oh, wow.
All right. I'm not saying you're going to be like Bill Gates exactly, but...
No, but...
You know, we all have a certain capacity, and money's not the most important thing in life anyway, but...
Right.
It's nice to have that in abundance.
Definitely.
So also, I'll just say one other thing. I really think that there's meant to be for you a real change this year, and perhaps a change in where you live.
Okay.
You know, change of location, change of job also.
Okay.
Now, I see that pretty strongly in your cards this year.
Okay, that's wonderful.
So, you know,
now, when you
looking,
say change... Sorry, I was just going to say, when you say change of location, do you mean
like where you
just
live.
A move?
Yeah,
like far away, do you see, or just locally?
The cards don't tell how far, but definitely
okay.
moves. So
definitely
opportunities,
move. Okay.
Yeah, opportunities to move or to travel.
Okay.
Would be considered good.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. You,
that sounds
you,
very good.
You know, so it's kind of good to know what's like the cards can tell us every year what areas it's really safe and recommended to move in. That's one of the benefits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at our Jupiter cards, and we look at our environment card, all the good cards, we look at them to say, where's the good stuff coming from?
Right.
And I've basically just outlined that for you.
Great.
And for your, you know, and I'm sure that I'm reading you right now, and I haven't looked at your husband's cards, but since you do fall in that, the role of the most responsibility, your cards become a little more important for the relationship's direction than his.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well,
was that helpful for you?
Yes, very helpful, and it was an honor to speak with you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And if
is
you don't
your mother
mind,
around?
Yes, I will. We'll pass her on, and before I do, I just wanted to congratulate you on your wedding.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
And all the best.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you very much, Robert, and I'll just pass my mom over to Jeanette.
Jeanette, okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hello, Robert. How are you this evening?
I'm well. How are you, Jeanette?
Very well, thank you.
So you've been studying the cards for a little bit, I guess?
Yes, for a little while I have. I just find them wonderfully well. I'm very interested in astrology as well, so they really come together very nicely.
Yes. Well, being an Aquarian, you're born January 27th, 1940?
Correct.
Being an Aquarian, being a double club, you're a double club. You're a King of Clubs and a Six of Clubs.
Yes.
I would be really shocked if you weren't interested in astrology.
Oh, I know. I'm interested in many, many things. And what I'm trying to... find out is what am I best at and how can I share this knowledge and my gifts to the world? I mean, I do it in many ways, but I've always had a desire to teach and also to have a center of some kind. I don't know if that is in the making for me or what is coming up for this coming year.
Right. Well, you know, the thing about the King of Clubs is, and your birthday is even more so like this, is that you get stuck in a rut sometimes.
Yes.
It's like you're waiting for something to happen.
Correct.
You know, that can happen a lot with King of Clubs. And that's because of that they have two sixes in their life spread together. And that that represents inertia, you know, represents a sort of inertia.
Yes.
So, but your card, your birthday, you know, there's 12 birthdays that are King of Clubs.
Yes.
My wife is a Sagittarian King of Clubs.
Yes.
And I've known so many King of Clubs. We get along so well. And your birthday has that Six of Clubs, which is a very powerful card, and it's a card that has a stronger urge for a special destiny.
Yes.
And you, being a double club, it would certainly have to involve teaching. It would have to involve bringing people to a higher knowledge.
Yes.
I mean, that's really clear and simple. You know what I mean? Now, that could take many forms. You could, like you say, you could start a center. Well, yeah, absolutely. I look at your cards and I see it here. You see, the center would be represented by fours.
Yes.
And you have a four spades in Venus and you have a four hearts result this year coming up.
Yes.
Well, there you have it.
There I have it.
All you got to do is get it going.
How do I do that?
Well, you know, stop waiting.
Stop waiting and just begin.
Just be,
put the energy out, the intent.
Yeah, like you can't wait anymore. You can't wait for something more to show up. You have to just start taking the steps.
Yes.
You can plan it. You can certainly lay out a plan for yourself. Don't allow that plan making to become an excuse not to move forward.
Exactly.
You know, you need,
because I know I have so much to share, and I just really love to be helping others and motivating or helping others, you know, but I just, there's something, and I don't know why, I just can't get out there and do it. It's
you are a natural teacher and you're a natural leader.
Yes.
Okay. And I have a friend who's got a daughter and she's a King of Clubs and she's only like 10 years old, and I'm hanging out at my friend's house and her daughter's in the room teaching a class to all of her friends.
Exactly.
For 10-year-old.
Oh, yes. I do this all the time with you know, I'm always sharing this with people at all the time.
Yeah.
And but I have always for a long time, and I even dreamt this and woke up very vividly seeing this center where it was almost like self, S-E-L-F, self-center, working on self and bringing.
Okay, well then that's the name of your center. You've already been given the word. You just have to act on it. You have to really believe in what's given to you. You are a vessel. The six is a vessel.
Yes.
You know, it's a tool. It's a vessel through which the instructions from the higher come down to the earth.
Yes.
So it's up to you to act on that and make that real. You know, to bring that to fruition. You can't hesitate. You know, whatever your own personal resistance is to getting out there, you got to get over that.
Right. I'm ready. I'm ready to do it.
For the sake of other people, for the sake of what you have to give, because I know you have a lot to give.
Yes. Well, thank you. I'm very
there's going to be money here this year. You don't have to worry about it, you know. Whatever your concerns are, just
well, it was the money. It's the money, like, because I know I have all the creative ideas and the ability to do it, but it's. I'm just wondering what is coming, like, in the financial, you know, to put that intent out to draw the people that I can have the financial help, because
Let me tell you a little secret about money. Okay, there
yes.
is always money. There is way more money than you'll ever need in the world. Money is looking for somebody with a plan.
Yes.
And you need a great plan, and all the money will just be there.
Okay.
People want to contribute to something, and they want to see their money do something good. There are so many super rich people in this world who don't know what to do with their money. They're looking for somebody they can trust to give it to, because they'll do something good with it.
Good. Well, I'm going to put that intent out that I will attract that person.
Well,
since I have all the
first write out your plan. You got to conceptualize this entire center, just exactly what it's going to do. You got to conceptualize every little aspect of it. You need
yes.
to sit down and design it. As if you had yes. all the money you need, you need to sit down and draw a plan up of what exactly it will look like, what it will do, how many people will it serve, what will they get when they walk in the door, what will they see, what will be the experience,
mm-hmm.
what kind of, what size building you'll need or place you'll need or property or whatever, everything. You need to plan it all out, and the money will just jump to that like a magnet.
Good. That's wonderful.
And you got
I appreciate I appreciate you sharing this with me, and I'm really ready to do that.
Oh, good. And, you know, if you need some help merchandising your stuff, get your daughter involved.
I will. I know. I know. She's terrific. They're both
her
very
wonderful.
Her
husband should be able to, you know, help you with the business aspects.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Robert, thank you so much for sharing with us this evening. We're very grateful that we were able to get through. And I'm working on the cards more because I certainly want to share that with many people. And I have already done so since I've received the books. I've helped, you know, I've told a lot of people about their cards, and they're just so excited about it.
Oh,
so we're going to be sharing this knowledge as well.
Well, thank you, Jeanette. And, you
more
know,
and more.
Once you get
and
down
congratulations
the road
and have a magical Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
Thank you, Jeanette. I appreciate that very much. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Good
bye-bye.
Night. Bye-bye. Okay. That was wonderful. It's nice. I got an email today. I love it when I get emails and I get to talk to somebody who emailed me. That's really fun for me. We're going to take a short break. We have Nikki waiting on line 2 and Becky on line 4. Line 3 is now open. But we're going to take a short break here and play Om Namah Shivaya, another great song off my CD. When we come back, we'll talk to Nikki. And if you want to call in on line 3. It's open, wide open. Robert Camp will be right back.
Shiva.
Welcome back, everybody. Robert Lee Camp. This is, I hope you enjoy that song, Om Namah Shivaya. Ooh, that song. That's a warrior song back in India in the ancient days when they had really powerful warriors. Anyway, we have, let's see, I think we have Nikki waiting patiently on line two. So may I speak to Nikki?
Hi.
Hi, Nikki. How are you?
I'm good.
Lucky
how are you?
Lucky 8 o'clock.
Can't believe, I'm at 8 o'clock.
Did you hear me talking about you earlier?
No, I guess I missed that.
8 o'clock, I talked about how fortunate they are. Because today's an 8 o'clock day, too.
Is it?
Yeah, today's the December the 10th. It's a Sagittarian 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Now, you're April 26th, right? 1974?
Yeah.
You're a Taurus. 8 o'clock.
Yep.
So what are you up to these days?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Trying to figure out my relationships with 10 of club men. I've had quite a few relationships with 10 of club men, and they've all been disastrous, to say the least. And I'm kind of involved with the 10 o'clock man right now, and it's driving me bonkers. It's,
you're one of the few cards that can actually love those poor guys.
Oh, good, but it's not me.
The problem is this, okay? I mean, you've got this great connection with them because you have a past life Venus connection with them. And, you know, you just like them. You can't help it. You know what I mean? But they're not really compatible with you because they're not really like you in a lot of ways.
Okay.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just a really grounded person.
I am and I'm not. Maybe it's that Venus and Pisces thing that I have going on. But I think that's what's making me love them in spite of myself as well. You know, that whole love.
Well, your Venus in Pisces wants to save somebody.
Yeah.
And you pick these loser guys to try to save them, you know.
But I don't pick them. They pick me, and I.
Ah, that is your big.
Like
that is the error of your thinking right there.
Really?
Nobody picks you, dear. Nobody picks you.
You
pick them.
Do you want to explain that?
I'll explain to you very clearly, okay? The woman always has to give permission for a relationship to happen. It will never happen without her permission.
Okay.
Unless he's holding a gun to your head. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's not holding a gun to your head, is he?
No, he's not. But I guess the reason I say that is because everyone else, if there's not a mutual attraction, I can just kind of say, well, it's not, and I walk away and I never think about it. But with the 10 of clubs, it's okay. I find myself thinking about it and then going, why not? And then next thing I know, I'm in the middle of this disaster.
See, Venus in Pisces is considered the best sign to have Venus in.
I don't think it is at all.
Well, let me explain that to you. It's considered the best sign astrologically to have Venus in, but in actual practical terms, it's one of the worst.
Absolutely.
The reason for that is that, number one, you're attracted to people that you have past life connections with, which is not necessarily bad, but you'll, like, go for it without having any critical judgment of the other person. You won't really sit down and assess the other person. Do you understand? The Venus in Pisces causes you to throw away your logical assessment of them and to ignore their faults.
But I don't, because the whole time that things are taking place, my intuition is, like, you know, feeding me every moment, and I'm knowing that this person is wrong, but at the same time feeling like,
well
maybe it's
that's
not
what
as
I'm
bad
talking
as
about
think,
that's exactly
yeah.
what I'm talking about. Nikki, is that you're ignoring what you know.
Well, why do I only do that with Ten of Clubs, and I kind of walk away with?
Well, I would say that you would do it with other people too. You will, until you'll find out it's not just Ten of Clubs, but Ten of Clubs happens to fit the pattern really strongly for you because you have a past life Venus connection with them, and you're highly attracted to men with whom you have a past life connection like that you can feel.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that you give up all your critical judgment for. This could happen to you with a Six of Clubs as well. It could also happen with a Seven of Diamonds. It could also happen with a Five of Hearts. There's other cards that you could have this happen to you with. Okay?
Okay.
And it's just that you've happened to run into a string of Ten of Clubs. The problem with Ten of Clubs is that they're such a problem, they're not really that good for relationships to begin with.
Yeah, they're not.
They're
kind of, they seem a little not psychologically sound.
They can be a little crazy, you know, there's no doubt about it. In a way, they're easy for you. You get to be the one who's always in control in the relationship.
Really? I don't feel that way.
Well, in a certain way, you do. If I'm in a relationship trying to fix somebody, then I'm the big person, they're the little person.
Yeah, I suppose. I see what you're
and
saying.
And that gives me more control.
Well, you know what? I read something about Venus and Pisces. Like, they're at the end of the astrological sort of, like, you know, cycle. So they have all of the, like, embodiments of all the other signs before them. So can I sort of just elect to now, like, manifest Venus and Leo? Because I have that within me. I won't be like Venus and Pisces anymore.
You're not going to know. Ignore what you read about Venus and Pisces. That astrologer did not know what they were talking about, okay?
Really?
Venus and Pisces is Venus and Pisces. It's not all the other signs combined.
Oh, okay, it's not.
Okay, and for you it's a big problem because it causes you to approach relationship in an unhealthy way. All right?
Yeah.
If you want to be with a real man, a man that will really float your boat, go find yourself a Nine of Clubs.
Then that would be somebody like my dad.
Oh. Yeah, just like your dad, right.
These
are the ones you've been... Also, a six, a Jack of Clubs would be good for you.
Well, isn't
Jack
that the personality sign of a Ten of Clubs? So it's kind of like... No.
We don't use personality cards anymore.
No?
We don't use birth cards and ruling cards and karma cards. So listen to what I'm telling you, okay? You meet a Jack of Clubs, it's going to be a whole different story.
Oh, wow.
Number one, you won't be able to help that person. You won't need your help. And what will you be then? How will you be with that person if they don't need your help?
Okay.
You're going to need his help. How are you going to handle that? Being the one who's afraid. Being the one who's weaker.
Yeah.
See? You've been playing it safe, Nikki.
That's true. I mean, I always say I want to meet a man that's, you know, a man, but I never seem to attract those types.
No, you're scared. You're afraid of those kind of guys because those are the ones that could break your heart. See, you're doing
no,
this.
No, actually, it's the weaker ones because they're weak, and so then I'm attracted to them initially, but then I end up being repulsed by them eventually. So they end up breaking my heart as well.
See, you're not able to be a woman with Ten of Clubs men. I'm sorry.
Hmm.
You can't be a woman with them. Do you want to be a woman with a man?
Absolutely.
Okay, then go find yourself a Nine of Clubs or a Jack of Clubs.
A Nine of Clubs or a Jack of Clubs.
Maybe even a Six of Diamonds. A Ten of Hearts. Like a Libra Six of Diamonds, that would be a good match for you.
A Libra Six of Diamonds.
Yeah, or a Taurus Six of Diamonds.
Wow.
You find one of those and you're gonna see how scared you get.
Wow.
And that'll be really healthy for you to be with a man like that.
Okay. So all what's going to happen with the Ten of Clubs guy that's in my life right now?
Whatever you say is going to happen, basically.
I like that.
You're the boss. Right. You always are. With Ten of Clubs, you're always the boss.
Wow.
These guys haven't got any power over you.
Wow.
I mean, he's showing up in you got Ten of Clubs in Saturn right now, this year, so the prognosis is not good. Ten of Clubs would be good for you right now.
So does that mean that they're playing a Saturn role to me, or?
Yes, they are playing a Saturn role to you this year. And right now, because you're in Saturn right now.
Yeah.
You're always in Saturn for the holidays. Isn't that a shame?
I feel like I'm always in Saturn. I'm an 8, numerology speaking. I always feel like I'm in Saturn. So.
Well, yeah, but you're really in Saturn right now.
Yeah, I know. And trust me, I'm feeling every moment of it. But what's the Jack of Diamonds significance as the upright card over top of it?
Well, I don't know. I think this is somebody you may not have met yet.
No, it is.
Oh, you have a Jack of Diamonds in your life right now?
No, I have a Ten of Clubs.
Then why are you saying that you know a Jack of Diamonds right now?
Oh, no, I thought you meant the Ten of Clubs. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
No, I don't know any Jack of Diamonds at all.
That's what I said. There's somebody you haven't met yet.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
You might need a diamond guy to straighten you up a little bit.
I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
I have Leo rising, so, you know, I'm not as...
Well, I know you're a pain in the ass.
Why? Because I'm the 8 of clubs?
you're used to being the little boss head.
Well, I'm a therapist, so you have to remember I'm used to kind of dissecting people.
Well, I'm not surprised you're a therapist and you go therapize your boyfriends.
I do all the time and I can't help it. It's like, you know.
But see, when you meet a 9 of clubs, when you meet a 6 of diamonds, a Jack of Clubs, 10 of hearts, you won't be able to do that. They're going to be smarter than you.
Yeah.
And that'll be the best thing for you.
Okay. Yeah.
So get off
right.
These wimps. All right. Just say no to wimps.
Okay. They're the wimps.
There's your new T-shirt. I say no to wimps. I don't need any more mama's boys. Looking for a, you know, a mommy to nurse on.
Well, you know what? That makes sense because I have Moon in Cancer, I have Mars in Cancer, I have Saturn in Cancer. So maybe that's another reason why, you know? I'm attracting that.
Yeah, well.
Oh, gosh, I have too much going on.
You know, you probably could have almost any guy you want. So you got to look at this whole thing and realize that it's all your fault. You're picking on, you're setting this whole situation up. You're creating it. I'm not trying to criticize you. I just want you to see the truth so you can start doing something a little different.
Okay.
Nobody's doing this to you. This is all your own doing. The sooner you get that, the sooner you can start having fun.
I love
okay?
it. Thanks so much, Robert.
You're very welcome. I'm your Pluto card. I'm the guy to kind of get you going on a new path.
Oh, you sure are. Wow.
Queen of Diamonds is the only one that can, you know, blow off enough dynamite to get the 8 of clubs going in a new way.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, Robert.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for being
on
the show.
I'm going to get that T-shirt, so.
I say no to wimps. If you're a mama's boy, just keep on walking.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Great talking to
Bye-bye.
You, Nick. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was fun. I love it. I love talking to people who can be really straightforward with them, and they'll be really up straight with you. It's just fun. It's a great exchange. I just love it. Okay, well, before we take another break, let's go ahead and get Natalie on the line. Line 4, by the way, is open now, and so is line 2. So it's time to call in. We're going to talk to Natalie, and then we're going to take a short break and come back. So get on the line and get your question ready, and I'll be here. So can we talk to Natalie? Is she still with us?
Hi, Robert.
Hello, Natalie. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Good. Are you born January 20th, 1951?
Yes, I am.
All right. So you're a little sweetheart.
Well, he's trying to let me.
Well, I know I've had friends your birthday, and they're all sweethearts.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. But, okay. Do you see any specific type of man I should be with? I'm seeing a Nine of Diamonds right now, but he's, like, driving me crazy right now.
Well, you know, there's nobody out in the world who's perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's
well, that's true.
We're all like a bunch of wounded little puppies out there looking for the least painful relationship we can find.
I had my share of pain in life.
Yeah, well, you know, you being a Seven of Diamonds, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're like a lot like the woman I spoke to just now, because Seven of Diamonds have that Jack of Hearts in Venus in their life spread, which is like having Venus in Pisces. I mean, it's like you would go into a relationship as a caretaker often. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Have you had that?
I want somebody to take care of me for a change.
Well, I know you do, but have you done it?
I don't know.
When's the last time you did that? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I think.
Yeah. Okay, so how can you... I mean, I could sit and tell you cards you should be with, but what good's it going to do if you keep approaching your relationship in the same way?
Mm, okay.
See? And you're very fixed, you know. You're not... You don't change very quickly or easily.
Not really.
So, you know, because there's a part of you that really believes that that's how it's supposed to be. You've got very fixed ideas and concepts about love. They're very fixed, you understand? They're kind of durable.
Okay.
And I'm not saying they're bad, like, because you're probably like the best friend anybody could have.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to personal relationships, we have to be willing to recognize what our needs are. We have to be willing to and able to ask for our needs and to feel okay about it. You cannot
That's what I'm beginning to start to do.
Yeah.
This is what I want, you know.
You can't be, like, totally selfless, because you'll always feel like you're not getting what you really want. You'll end up with selfish people.
Mm.
Like your Nine of Diamonds friend.
Mm.
You'll end up with people that are, you know, all about themselves and hard, you know, they really can't give all that much. Or people that are broken down. And if you heard me talking to Nikki, you know, she has a pattern of picking men that are weaker than her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's safe, you know? For her, because it's always easier to be the stronger person in a relationship. Even though the relationship is crappy, it's always easier to be the stronger person. And you might have that same thing going on, the same little racket.
Mm.
So you pick out some broken down guy, and you can kind of be there to help him so that you don't ever get yourself hurt. So, you know, it's like as soon as you start, you know, really looking at yourself and working on that, and you can work on that with, like, a counselor or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. Or reading some good books, you know, or
mm-hmm.
both. You will automatically attract somebody better.
Okay. You know, I just started, like, you know, doing some reading about gemology, gem healing.
Yeah.
And, so I just picked up a mother of pearl and I needed some grounding too, so I got black onyx.
You know, let me suggest a stone for you that would be even more grounding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is based on the Vedic gemology.
Mm-hmm.
I study the Vedic astrology system.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one gem system that's connected to astrology. There's only one. It's been preserved for thousands of years in India.
Mm-hmm.
And in Vedic astrology, you are a Capricorn.
Okay.
Even though you're still a Capricorn in Western too.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people are different signs in Vedic. It's a long story, which I can't get into.
Okay, I know that my Jupiter sign is Pisces.
Yeah, well, your sun sign is Capricorn. The stone
mm-hmm.
for Capricorn is the blue sapphire.
Okay,
or what's that blue stone that's so popular?
Turquoise?
Not turquoise. No, that's not the right color blue. Lapis.
Oh, lapis lazuli?
Lapis lazuli is the stone for you, my dear.
Okay.
That is the most grounding.
I did have one, but I had lost it.
That's the most grounding stone there is.
Oh, okay.
You
want to
get your feet on the ground, you wear lapis.
Okay.
You'll see.
Okay.
It'll make a difference. Now, I don't know. Do you know what your rising sign is?
No.
Okay. If I knew that, I might be able to tell you another stone or whatever. But it might even be the same stone. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, that's a great grounding. But, you know, just in relationships, you know, you need to, like, say no to losers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Say no to guys that are broken down, who need fixing up.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that ain't got no money.
I try to stay away.
Say no to the guys who are stingy.
But
right?
but the guy that I'm seeing, though, he's just the nine of diamonds, he's generous.
Well, that's good. Well, maybe he's a good guy for you. I don't know. If he's generous, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to have a guy put you all on a pedestal.
Mm. You know what? Another aspect I want to talk to you about is my sun sign. I need to understand my sun sign more. My seven of diamonds, so
mm-hmm.
I can know how. Like, okay, like I said, millionaire card, am I supposed to be going for my millions or what, you know?
Well, it has the capacity, every seven of diamonds has the capacity to be very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to step into that role. You have to, first of all, you have to want that, you know?
Okay.
And your ruling cards are two of hearts, so you like relationships as much or more than you like money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you'd have,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to focus in the direction of money more. And then it could kick in.
Okay.
And you have an extremely creative mind when it comes. You should be able to make lots of money. There's no doubt about it.
I've been sitting down, and I've been doing a lot of creating of ideas. I've just been writing them down. I'm trying to look at more focus on the big picture.
Well, it's time to put those ideas into action. And they're no good just sitting there on a page. You know?
And so I've been working on that, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I picked up the black onyx.
Uh-huh.
And
well,
you say lapis would be a more grounding stone for me too.
Well, you know, these books on gems that are available, most of those gems were written by people that smoke a lot of pot.
Oh.
Who didn't really and have no connection to any knowledge. You know, they were people that were really popular during the harmonic convergence and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they just came up with stuff to sell rocks and minerals. Don't believe everything you read.
Mm-hmm.
I trust the ancient knowledge more, and only one system I trust with gems is the one that's been around for hundreds of thousands of years in India.
Okay.
And the stone for Saturn is lapis.
Okay.
And Saturn is the grounding planet of the entire zodiac.
All right, okay.
It's not necessarily the greatest money planet. You know, Jupiter is the money planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, know, so
I'll definitely go get me a piece.
But you have the capacity. There's no doubt you have the capacity to make money. You just got to, like, put your mind to it. You're extremely creative, and you know how to promote things that you believe in.
Yeah, I'm working on it. As a matter of fact, what I want to do, I'm looking to write some grant writing proposals. So I'm setting myself up to, you know, get into this internship, grant writing internship program, and have this guy, you know, like, hire me because it's in direct alignment with my goals. So
sounds
that's
good.
What I want to do and
it sounds good.
Make it happen.
Well, I see good influences for you this year.
Okay.
So go for it.
Okay. You see good thing. You see good influences for the first few months of next year?
Absolutely. Great influences for the first half of the year. Actually, the whole year looks good.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right,
rock and roll. All right. Rock and roll, Natalie. Go get them, girl.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
All right. Thanks for being a guest, Natalie. I hope you do well.
It's so appreciated. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night. Okay, Seven of Diamonds. And the reason that all this, the people born on January 20th are sweethearts is because they have a Two of Hearts ruling card. And anyone with a Two of Hearts ruling card is just a very caring person. The problem with Seven of Diamonds, Two of Hearts is they can be too caring. They don't give enough to themselves. Kind of like Nikki, who was in Eight of Clubs before. In a certain way, in relationships, give too much. Okay, so we're going to take a short break. We do have somebody on line four. We have two lines open. We do have time. So if you want to call in, there's still time to have a question tonight. So we're going to take a short break right now. I'd like to hear the song Sri Ram. And when we come back, we'll talk to Becky, who's been waiting for a long time. Okay? Be right back.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Camp. I hope you enjoyed that song. It's Sri Ram. It's my favorite song on the CD. I don't know why. I think it's the strumming of the guitar. That was a chant that I wrote probably over 20 years ago. I used to just play it on the acoustic guitar by itself. But I always pictured it as being a grand production, and that song captured it perfectly for me. I really feel real content with that. So we have waiting patiently Becky, who's been on the phone and lost connection, and then is back from Louisiana. Can I speak to Becky, please?
Yes, sir. This is Becky.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Becky.
Yes, sir.
I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you a little better. Are you born February 21st, 1951?
Yes, sir, I was.
Good. So, do you know anything about your card or anything?
No, sir. I'm just getting into this, so I'm really not, knowing a lot about it.
Okay. What would you like? What's on your mind this evening? Do you have a specific question, or do you want just a general?
Well, my husband died in August, and that was my third marriage.
Uh-huh.
And I have such a horrible time with men and picking losers and don't have jobs or money or drink or do drugs.
Well, you know, you are a Pisces, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's a Pisces trait, you know.
Mm.
You know, Pisces is... the symbol for Pisces is the fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the icon for Pisces. Did you know that?
Jesus is the icon?
Mm-hmm. For Pisces?
No, sir, I didn't know that, but I've had a lot of experiences in churches that weren't good.
Yeah.
And a lot of negative energy and dreams.
Well, see, the thing is, like, you're pretty open because you're a Pisces. And you have this desire to save other people.
Hmm.
Which is like what Jesus was, a savior, right?
Yes, sir.
So you tend to apply that savior attitude in your relationships. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, in other words, you would like to save your partner.
Yes, sir.
Here's the problem with that, Becky. And that is that you can't save anybody else.
Yes, sir.
They have to save themselves. Because God gave all of us free will. Right?
Yes, sir. Well,
I'm
very open to anything. I'm just so hungry for change. I'm 56 years old. Taught school for 30 years, and I've just been so unhappy almost my whole life. And I'm just ready for a change, and I need some direction and which way to go.
Well, you know, like, pain is the way we learn. We learn through suffering. And when people suffer enough, they start looking for answers in places that you don't normally find them. You know, I think you're at that point now where you really want some answers.
Yes, sir.
And so you know, this is a good sign that you're at this place. I would suggest that you read my books, first of all.
Okay.
Because you'll learn a lot about yourself. Learn all about your relationships. I've written two books. One of them is called Love Cards.
What is it?
Love Cards.
Love Cards.
Love Cards.
Okay.
Your card, by the way, is a Four of Diamonds.
Yes, sir.
It comes from your birthday. And that tells us a lot about you. Okay? But with that book, you can learn about yourself, and you can learn about everybody you meet, and you'll know which men are losers before you even, they even say a word.
Well, my husband was a Taurus.
Yeah. What birthday?
It was May 6, 1957.
May 6th, uh-huh.
Yes, sir, and we would butt heads a lot.
He was a powerful man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a, your husband was a king of diamonds.
Mm.
He's the same birthday as George Clooney, the actor.
Yes, sir.
Do you know George Clooney?
He had a heart attack. He just turned 50.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry that that happened to him. I mean, that's sad thing for you. It must have been hard, huh?
Yes, sir. We just got married last December.
Wow.
He's very, very intelligent, very good person, but he had, you know, his foolish ways.
Yeah, well, that birthday is particularly pig-headed. I'm sure you discovered that.
Yes, sir.
So, I think it's time for you, Becky, to start, you know, expanding your mind and start finding out how much is out there. There's a lot of answers out there if you're willing to look and do some investigation.
Yes, sir.
There are some incredible books, and there are other things. Have you seen the movie called The Secret?
Yes, sir, I have it.
Oh, good. Did you like it?
Yes, sir. I've been studying, and I'm friends with George L. Presleyan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know George very well.
He's the one that introduced me to you in a certain way with the Destiny Cords, because he did my Destiny Cords.
Yeah.
And that's where I just started learning about that.
Well, George is a good guy for you. He's a good influence in your life. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So what would be the perfect person for me in my life?
Well, first of all, before you could even say that, Becky, you need to know who you are first.
Yes, sir.
And where you're going, and what really, you need to know more about yourself, like what really would be the best thing for you, not just in a relationship, but in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll know what kind of person would be the best to fit in with that. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So the first thing to start out with is getting to know yourself more. And that's what astrology is all about, and that's what the science of the cards is all about. It's about self-understanding, self-knowledge.
Yes.
That's why we're all doing it, because we're all interested in learning more about ourselves.
What about my finances? I have certain things that I'm waiting on to learn about my finances. For coming up for the next year, I have some things coming in.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to start a new business or a different way than teaching school, because I'm on a leave right now.
Uh-huh.
And I really want to be a whole person financially, spiritually, and very balanced. And that's what I want to work on.
Well, I don't see a problem. When I look at your influences for this coming year, and I'm looking ahead into your next year, starting in February, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I look into that year, I don't see any financial problems.
Okay.
So I would suggest to you to proceed ahead as if you, all the money you need is going to be there when you need it.
Okay.
But stay focused on what you're doing. It's more important. Okay?
Yes, sir.
If you end up having it all be about whether you have enough money or not, you'll miss an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So the money's going to be there, but you have to just step into that role and be be that person that's having a new life.
Yes, sir. That's what I've been working on since February of this year when I first saw The Secret, the movie, and read the book.
That's
and
great.
And it started changing my life and changing the way I thought and changing everything around me.
Well, keep going, Becky. Don't stop there. There's lots of other books. There's lots of other teachers. There's some great stuff out there.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's the book, The Four Agreements. The Four Agreements.
And who is that by?
I think it's San Miguel Ruiz, I think. But just ask any bookstore for The Four Agreements, and there's only one book with that name.
Okay.
And he's also written a book about the mastery of love. It's really wonderful.
Oh.
And there's so many good books out there, and this is a time for you to just keep expanding like this. You're doing the right thing.
Yes, sir.
You're on the right track.
Yes, sir. I've always felt like that my dad died when I was 27 years old. And when he died, he was my age right now. And it devastated me because I was so close to him. And I always have felt like, and my husband and I would discuss this, that I was looking for him and there could never be another him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In
a partner, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I think all women end up marrying their fathers.
Yeah.
You're not any different. I'm sorry you can't be special because everybody, all the girls do that. My wife sometimes tells me, she goes, "You look like my father."
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Well, I'm going to ask you one more question. My daughter is here, and she has the same problems that I have with relationships. She's been married once, has two children, and she keeps getting these crazy people. So I was kind of blaming myself, thinking, well, it was my fault that I put that down on her.
What's your daughter's birthday?
Her birthday is May 23rd. I think she was born in 1970. What? 8.
78?
Yes, sir. She's right here.
Well, your daughter is not really, she's not really really like you, okay?
No, she's not like
you. Well, she just has some of the same symptoms that you do.
But she has some of the same symptoms I have.
In the relationship area, you know.
In the relationship area.
But she's different than you are. She has her own karma, you know.
Oh, yes, and she's very successful and she's very driven.
Right. So go to the local Barnes & Noble store.
I have a Books a Million.
Okay, well, they may not have it. Because we don't sell to Books a Million because they never pay their people they buy books from.
Okay.
So go online or something. Go online, go to my website, or go to BarnesandNoble.com, or go to Amazon.com and order my book, Love Cards. You and your daughter will both love it, trust me.
Okay.
And I guarantee you, you'll learn more about yourself and about everybody you've ever been with than you ever learned before.
Okay, thank you so much. You have been a blessing.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for hanging on and being so patient.
Yes, sir. Okay, have a great evening.
Thanks, Becky. Call back after a month or so, okay? Let me know how things are going.
Okay, I certainly will.
And have your daughter call, too.
Okay, I sure will.
All right, take care, Becky.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to go right into talking to Debbie, who's online, too, I hope. She's been waiting for a while now. Are you there, Debbie?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you, Debbie?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call, Robert.
You're welcome.
Well, my question has to do with my work and relationships and how they kind of interact with each other, because I have I hit a wall a few years back and haven't seemed to been able to get back to myself.
What kind of wall is that?
some worst midlife crisis you could imagine.
Well, give me some specifics so I know
relationship,
what you're talking about.
It was primarily a relationship that
ooh,
I
just
put
one?
In a higher priority.
Just one?
Just one, but it actually...
You mean one relationship became a wall in your whole life?
It did. And
okay.
I made that happen.
And what was his birthday?
Seven of Hearts. He was a Scorpio, October 28th.
A Seven of Hearts Scorpio, okay.
Yeah.
That helps me a little bit. So then, is this guy still around?
No. It's the things for me have been kind of moving in a better direction, but I'm kind of at a standstill and very indecisive with my career and very, I don't even know how to interact with especially men anymore.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you have a strong romantic drive, personally.
Yeah. I just don't feel like showing that to a lot of people anymore.
Well, because you got your feelings hurt.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot more than that. But I mean, it was the trust is a hard thing. I don't know how to trust myself again, and I feel like I'm always about change and wanting new things and wanting to explore everything that life has to explore.
Okay, let me just tell my listening audience that your birthday is May 1st, 1964, right?
Yeah.
So you're a five of spades.
Yeah.
So you're a restless soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, your birthday is not altogether all that marriageable, you know.
Yeah.
You would tend to be the one with commitment problems, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
And not only that, but you have a nine of clubs, and nine of clubs like to have affairs.
Well, and what's really funny is I definitely am very particular about what I will commit to. And I really am very selective, and I think maybe that's why my work is very important to me.
Uh-huh.
And it's really something that I just feel like is, you know, something that is probably more of a priority than relationships for me.
Well, work is the place you run back to when your relationships aren't doing so good.
Yeah.
Because it always makes you feel good, you know.
Most of the time, yeah. And I guess I think I spent so much of my life doing that now I'm kind of looking more at the whole relationship part and wanting that more than my work.
Well, I think you are supposed to, you're in a period right now that began on your birthday in 2003.
Hmm.
And it will go until your birthday in 2016. Okay?
Okay.
And this period is predominantly about love.
Okay.
Okay? And, you know, for better or worse, okay? So you might as well get with the program.
Meaning what? Because I'm trying to
turn
into the right channel.
You know, see, spades, you're a spade. First and foremost, you're a five of spades.
Mm-hmm.
And spades don't like to look inside themselves very much. Okay?
Okay.
They're doers, not someone who likes to explore their inner being all that much. They'd rather go out and do something.
Okay.
But love requires reflection and self-knowledge. Okay?
Okay.
You know, relationship is way harder than being successful in work. Did you know that?
Yeah, I do.
It's like 100 times harder!
I know.
Work is easy. Relationship is not so easy. But you're in a relationship, period, now. You're kind of stuck.
Very stuck.
Sounds like God's playing a practical joke on you.
So how do we get out of this?
What he's asking you to do I mean, I could say is that you're being asked to look inside and start to unravel all your stuff that you got about relationship. And make that your focus and make that your project.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, get in there and start looking at what's going on and taking some responsibility for it and be willing to learn about yourself. I'm sure that you're a handful in the relationship area. You got a lot of stuff going on.
I do.
You know? And you can overcome this stuff. You know, you can actually make progress. You can see some different things happen in your life. Do you want that?
I do. Sometimes I feel like I'm looking at myself with not as objectively as I need to.
Well, yeah, we all have that problem, you know, and we need help sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, we need somebody outside of us to help us look at ourselves, like a counselor, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, most of the people that when I've talked with people and I've gone to counseling and I've, you know, and most of them see me as a competent, independent person, and, you know, they don't really get at a lot of the things that I need to get at anyway, and it's kind of...
Well, you're not with somebody who's good enough. You know, you got to have somebody who's really good. A good counselor will not let you get by with shit. You know what I mean? They're going to nail you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do counseling per se. I do readings, and I nail people in my readings. But I've been nailed many times by good counselors. I know what it's like. You know? And
yeah.
It's no good if you're not getting pinned up against the wall. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
well,
you're a tough cookie. You can handle it.
Well, that's one of the things that gets me very frustrated with a lot of relationships, because most of the time, if, you know, the people that I'm with, if they can just actually say what they really feel, I'm okay with it, and I can look at myself, but if I don't, I'm pretty self-absorbed when it comes to doing my own thing, you know? And it's like, if I don't know that I'm actually impacting somebody, I don't pay attention, which I need to do more of, but...
So give me an example of that, because I don't understand what you're talking about. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
Well,
give
I mean,
me
I could
example.
Be... I could be having a conversation with somebody, and I could say something, and... not have a clue as to how what I'm saying is affecting them.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then,
so you blurt something out, and then what happens? And you hurt their feelings or something? Or
I mean, I'm sure that's happened, because I've had friends that just kind of look at me like I'm from another planet when I do that. But, you know, my friends that I've known for many years will say, okay, Deb, I know you because, you know, you can say this to me, but other people may be a little bit taken back by that. I'm just very forthright, and it tends
okay.
to not, I don't mean it like an attack or anything, but sometimes, you know, people are in their place, and I'm not very considerate of that sometimes.
That's not necessarily a big problem, okay?
It isn't, but I'm definitely a very strong personality. And
well, then you need a guy who's stronger than you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that I have a feeling that this Seven of Hearts Scorpio was pretty strong.
He was very manipulative.
Well, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's one form of strength. It's a power control thing, see?
Yeah.
You met your match on that level.
Yeah. I don't...
You're not
going
to control him.
No. And I just didn't, you know, the emotional kind of control is not one that I sit well with. And I'm actually have an Eight of Hearts guy in my life right now that just makes me absolutely crazy.
Well, Eight of Hearts and Seven of Hearts are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
They're karma cards to each other.
Yeah, I know.
So you got the same guy all over again, just in a slightly different package.
Yeah, I know.
See, there's something that you want from that. That's, you wouldn't be attracting those two guys if you didn't. There's something that you want.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I think you hit on it, because it was, you know, the idea of somebody actually just saying what it is, you know, that is not comfortable for them, because there are the same personalities with them. I mean, they are both very, they're very nice people, very generous, very considerate, you know, but it's the fact that when something isn't comfortable for them, they become very emotionally hurtful. You know, that's the way they defend themselves. And I hate that. I just hate that with a passion because I'm a very sensitive person somewhere inside there, you know.
Well, everybody, you know, everybody, if you read this book, I think it's called, I was just talking about it a minute ago, by Don Miguel Ruiz.
The Four Agreements, I love that.
But he wrote another book about love. Have you read that one?
No, I haven't. I actually was going to buy it one time, and I never got to it.
The Mastery of Love or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was reading a little bit of that on my vacation recently, and it's great, you know. And it talks about, right in the beginning, about how we're all so wounded, you know?
Right.
We're like a whole society. He says, we're like a whole world of people that have this skin condition, that if we get, that we have sores all over our skin, so if we touch somebody else, it hurts us. We're like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like that.
Right.
So we're all trying to find a relationship that it just won't hurt us.
Yeah, I guess I'm not looking for something that's not, doesn't have it. I mean, everything has its ups and downs and its, you know, highs and lows, but it's kind of just the not saying anything. It's the secret stuff that just makes me crazy.
Well, why are you attracting secretive men? Why are you, why are you, like, chasing these kind of guys down?
Probably because I'm about pretty secretive about my feelings.
Okay, well, there you have it. You've answered your own question. So
yeah.
As soon as you're ready to be forthright and come out and say what's really going on for you, maybe you'll attract a man who will, too. You know?
Probably true.
Yeah. See, it always comes back to us eventually, you know. Like, we always attract who we are. We can't help it. It's embarrassingly true. You know, it's painfully true that we end up with someone who's like ourselves. And if I'm with a controlling person, it's probably because I have control issues. You know?
Yeah.
It just has to be. If I'm with somebody who can't trust, it's probably because I don't trust. So the trick of it all is to look at that, to use your relationship as a mirror and say, okay, what about this person is just like me?
So is all of that related to my complete inability to want to stay in one place for any time longer than a couple of years?
Well, you have a restlessness about you, and that's a whole different issue for you. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, by the way. It could be a good thing.
Okay.
You know, there's got to be some fives in this world. They're the explorers, you know. They're the ones that are, you know, Sagittarians are like fives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me recently this thing about Sagittarius is like they're always planning their next trip. If they're not on a trip, they're planning their next trip.
That sounds like me. I really enjoy
that's
that.
What fives are like, and it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, don't feel bad about it. I'm a Cancer. I'm always planning my next meal.
Well, that helps me out a great deal, actually, because I think there's a combination of the two things. One, that I do actually enjoy being able to travel and move and explore.
Yeah, absolutely. And, hey, why not travel with somebody that you really love? You know, you're not looking for marriage. You're looking for a great love affair.
Yeah, I'm looking for a nice partner in the whole love of life thing, you know?
You know, and you go for these powerful hearts because they can deliver the juice sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But the downside is all the little tantrums they throw.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that the guys that I've been pulling into my life, and even the people at work, the ones that make me uncomfortable are the ones that are very settled and very rooted, and it's just not who I am. And I think I just need to be okay with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we definitely, on some level, we all got to be okay with ourselves first. Then we have a chance to attract somebody who's okay with us, too.
So
I think I think you got the answer. There are lots of cards, you know. Lots of cards. I would think it would be interesting for you to be with a man that you're moon to.
Okay.
You know, like a six of spades, a nine of spades, one of those two cards.
Okay.
It would be an interesting thing. That can be their birth or ruling card. Maybe a ten of clubs even.
Okay.
But ten of clubs is also moon to you, so it's not quite as good as I would like to see. King of Hearts would be an interesting card for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah, look for a King of Hearts. They're like a little bit, they're not usually as manipulative as the lower heart cards are.
Okay.
They have the wisdom, you know, to go with their kingship. So try that on for size.
I'll do that. Well, thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, Debbie, it's a pleasure. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. You have a nice holiday.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're running very short on time. We do have Winston who's been waiting on the line, and I just want to have him on for a minute. If you could put Winston on real quick, I'd like to just say hi to him. Hello?
Hello, Robert.
Hey, Winston.
How you doing tonight?
I'm good. So you must be the husband of, let's see, who was it? Dina.
Dina.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I didn't want to talk to you tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
I want you to call again next week.
Okay. We can do
that.
Do
you mind doing that?
No, this is actually the first time we've gotten through, and it's a real privilege to actually get through. And we really enjoyed the show tonight.
Oh, well, great. It's great to have you guys. I'm so glad that your guys are tuning in and you called in. And I do want to talk to you, but I want to wait a week and let this settle in what I talked to, told Dina and told her mom. And then
okay.
I'll talk to you next week if you still have questions.
Perfect.
All right?
That's great, Robert.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling. I knew it was you holding on there. And I do want to talk to you. My birthday is July 3rd, so you and I got a good connection going.
Yes, we certainly do. Lots in common, actually.
So be happy to have a chat with you. Yeah, you're also married to a Sag, just like me.
Yes, and we both got married in December.
Oh, cool.
And we still got that connection with food.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm thinking about some popcorn we're going to have later.
Well, if it wasn't so late here, I'd probably be doing the same, so...
All right. Well, listen, so give us a call back next week, Winston. It'll be a pleasure to talk to you.
That's great, Robert. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, man.
Have a good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Well, it's been fun. I'm really glad to be home and glad to be back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Next Monday, we'll have a new show. And please bring your questions. We're going to end tonight's show with one of the songs off my CD. The most popular song on the CD is called Gayatri. So we'll play that, and we'll be back next week, same time. So hope you have a great week. Good night.
Bhargo Devasya Dhinam.